So I am excited for this episode. I recognize that it's a day late, but I had a lot of Bernie volunteer things that I had to go over last night. So unfortunately, that ran a little late. It didn't end until about after 10. And, you know, I'm not going to stay up until midnight recording. I'm just not going to do that. So we're recording today. Thankfully, it's the day of a debate, and Bernie is surging on all fronts. So you'd think I'd be in a good mood, but I am pretty pissed off. It's been a... The smear campaign against Bernie has hit ageist levels of offensive. And I honestly didn't think I'd get to that point in describing it that way. But wait till it's reminiscent of the birtherism of Obama. Let's just say that. I'm going to get into it. Here we go. So I'm getting really tired of coming back to you guys every week and being like, wow, you wouldn't believe how nasty the smears have gotten this week. You know, it feels a little dry and played out, like I'm just doing the same thing. But it keeps hitting new levels of stupid that I didn't even think was possible. Where was the ceiling at one point? The ceiling was Bernie has three houses. Bernie's a millionaire, right? Like, I mean, that was like, are you fucking kidding me? Try working in the Senate for X amount of years, earning several hundred thousand dollars just as a salary and writing a best-selling book. Try doing both of those things and not ending up as a millionaire, right? Like it used to be what was the Medicare for All thing? How are you going to pay for it? Bernie's never talked about how he's going to pay for it. But as he has surged, the attacks against him have really come into their own. This is now, we're at like Republican level smears. You know, when we all said the birtherism was gross, rightfully so. And if you're unfamiliar with birtherism, it was when Donald Trump was implying that we didn't know that Osama bin Laden was born in the United States, and consequently, you know, it would make him ineligible to be president. You know, he was basically questioning his American citizenship on the grounds of his name and his skin color. I mean, he was born in Hawaii. Hawaii's a state. He's an American. And I would even make the argument that it shouldn't even fucking matter what country you're from, whether or not you have the best ideas or whether you're best suited to be in charge of a country. But regardless, the entire thing was so thoroughly debunked. Obama released his birth certificate, but of course they wanted his long form birth certificate because it wasn't really about whether or not he was born in the United States. What it was about was his skin color. They did not like that he was a black man. Donald Trump is a racist, but even more than that, Donald Trump is a thin-skinned buffoon, and as much as he is certainly a racist, he had a personal animosity towards Obama that was entirely derived from the fact that Obama made fun of him at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like, I mean, Trump was famously recorded as saying that the Central Park Five were guilty of something even after they were found innocent. And of course Donald Trump was like, no, they're guilty of something. So he has been a racist his entire life. His father was a racist, a suspected and likely member of the Klan, of the Ku Klux Klan. That's not an exaggeration. He was like caught at a Ku Klux Klan rally at one point. He was like arrested, wearing the hood and stuff, but they buried that. And only I'm assuming Donald Trump would know the truth of it at this point. My suspicion, there's a photograph of him there. So my suspicion is that he was, in fact, a member of the Klan. But whether that matters or not, let's say he was Klan friendly or open to their ideas. We could also talk about Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump's, not allowing black men and women to rent from their apartments that they owned, or deliberately charging them more or treating them with disdain. Like, I mean, these are all documented things. I mean, he was a known bigot. And none of this is to defend Trump, obviously. It's all awful. It's all hideous. But his animosity towards Obama, I think a lot of us agree, was born out of just it's being made fun of. And he couldn't get over it, and probably over the fact that he was a black man. You know, I mean, he himself is very clearly a racist. He's referred to other nations as shithole countries. I simply like to add that personal animosity tidbit on, not to sit, you know, not to pass off all the other evidence that he's a racist, but just to say that he very clearly has a personal vendetta against Obama in particular. But that's neither here nor there. You're familiar with the birtherism. None of this is news to you. So the modern birtherism that I referred to at the beginning is the demanding of Bernie Sanders's medical records. This demand had been going on for a while. I'm sure, you know, if you're familiar at all with Jennifer Rubin, who's a Washington Post columnist, just writes whatever dumb, generic, bland, hackish point you could imagine that's against Bernie at all times. She'll write one thing one day, then, you know, completely discredit herself the next day because it turns out to back up Bernie. Or she'll write, you know, the Iowa caucuses matter a year ago, and then, you know, a year later she's like, does Iowa even matter anymore because Bernie's winning it? I mean, she's as hackyish as they come. So of course she would repeat every now and again, you know, we don't even know about his medical records. And nobody joined her because he released his medical records back in December. He released them. The entire faux outrage about it was just that, a faux outrage. It wasn't real. We had our answers. And suddenly, as if out of nowhere, the entirety of the media establishment jumped on the talking point that Bernie had not released his medical records. I mean, it's unbelievable. This just exploded, supposedly, out of his town hall that he did last night. And I'm about to play a clip from CNN this morning where they try to do a gotcha question on him. But CNN themselves wrote an article back in December acknowledging that Bernie was in fine health. So this entire interview, and I'm going to read the article that CNN wrote just to prove it to you. Like, this is their words, but I just don't know how. It's a level of hackishness that I didn't think we were going to reach. Let me just, you know, say it like that. This is unbelievable to see a network discredit itself this much. But I guess at this point, it's a do or die for them, and they feel confident that they can discredit themselves and no one's going to hold them accountable. So just keep doing it and hope it sticks. I mean, I can't explain their behavior any other way. So without further ado, here is the CNN clip with Breonna Joy Gray doing her best to just not scream, I'm assuming, at this anchor.
I don't think we will release any more medical records. I have those three letters from the doctors that Senator Sanders was talking about. There's nothing in them other than the doctor saying that he's fit. He had a heart attack.
Yeah, well,
he had a heart attack in the fall. Do you think the American people deserve to know more about his health going forward?
I think that the American people deserve to know exactly as much as every other candidate has released in this race currently and historically. And what you're seeing right now is really reminiscent of some of the kind of smear, kind of skepticism campaigns that have been run against a lot of different candidates in the past, questioning where they're from, aspects of their lineage, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really telling, given that none of the same concern is being demonstrated for Michael Bloomberg, who's the same age as Bernie Sanders, who has suffered heart attacks in the past. And what we're seeing is a kind of smear campaign from the likes of Jennifer Rubin is one that's been beating this drum a lot. Republicans who, if they were honest with themselves, don't support Bernie Sanders for other reasons, largely for the same reasons that millions of working Americans do support Bernie, which is that he supports social programs that prioritize Main Street over Wall Street and is, yes, made a lot of enemies in the pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance industry and all of the interest groups whose interests are aligned against those of average Americans.
Now, for context, Betty Hassan and several other journalists joined in asking, wow, I mean, this is a bad look if the campaign is hiding this. I mean, man, what's going on here? Is there something at play? And that is stunning. It's really like, because Mehdi as much as he will scold progressives and has scolded progressives, scolded me specifically. I got in an argument with him on Twitter a while back, which I, you know, I actually found kind of flattering that he would even bother to retweet me, even if it was to try to like embarrass me. It didn't work, but I always kind of thought of him as being one of the more honest journalists. I just figured that he was scared of what would happen if Bernie didn't get the nom and lacked the courage of his convictions, basically. I figured that he would vote the right way, but that he wasn't actively going to push for a progressive agenda because he didn't want to lose his position, you know, obviously on CNN, and because he didn't actually think we could win. Because if you think we can win, then pushing really isn't that hard, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's that. Point is, Mehdi retweeted this or mentioned this morning how the campaign was not doing their due diligence insofar as the medical records. Now, what he did was he retweeted a Greg Pinello. Now, for those of you who don't know who Greg Pinello is, he's a Democratic strategist and an Obama ad maker. So this is an Obama surrogate. And the Obama surrogates are pretty famous for not liking progressive policies or progressives in general. So Mehdi Hasan retweets Greg saying, "I hope this isn't true, but it looks really bad, or really, really bad, that they're not being fully transparent on his health of all issues." Now, of course, again, Mehdi is a contributor to CNN and is a regular contributor to The Intercept as well. And The Intercept is a decent left publication journalism or a newspaper. And Mehdi himself is a decent journalist, usually. So to be retweeting this, it's stunning. As Bree Joy pointed out there, this is no different than the birtherism of asking for Obama's long-form medical records. And who better to prove this to us than CNN? So here's an article from December 30th. December 30th, 2019 at 11:16 p.m. Senator Bernie Sanders is in, quote, good health, end quote. Nearly 3 months after suffering a heart attack, the attending physician at the U.S. Capitol said in a letter released Monday. The physician, Brian Monahan, said in a summary of the Vermont senator's health that Sanders is no longer taking several of the medications initially prescribed to him after the heart attack. Several of the medications you initially required, blood thinner, beta blocker, were stopped based on your progress, Monahan wrote. Your heart muscle strength has improved. You have never had any symptoms of congestive heart failure. The heart chamber sizes, wall thickness, estimated pressures, and heart valves are normal. Several 24-hour recordings of your heart electrical activity indicated no significant heat rhythm abnormality, end quote. Later in the letter, Monahan said, you're in good health currently, and you have been engaging vigorously in the rigors of your campaign, travel, and other scheduled activities without any limitation, end quote. Monahan's letter notes that the 78-year-old Sanders is 6 feet tall and weighs 174 pounds. The campaign also released two additional letters from physicians at the University of Vermont who have examined Sanders since his heart attack earlier this year, saying that Sanders is in good health and making a strong recovery. The doctors, Philip Aides, Patrick Savage, and Martin Leewenner, said they believe Sanders is fit to serve as president. Three separate doctors. This is written by CNN Politics, the very same network that was just grilling Breonna Joy Gray this morning on the clip that I played for you. Are you kidding me right now? This is what I'm talking about. This is unbelievable. How are they discrediting themselves? This is as bad as when the Washington Post released an article arguing against its own fact check. When they tried to fact check Bernie Sanders on wealth inequality, and they had written an article not like 6 months ago that used the exact same information Bernie was using, basically treating it as fact. I mean, it is the exact same thing. Only this is 3 months ago, and CNN wrote the article, Bernie Sanders is in good health. You answered your own question. You answered it already. You knew he was in good health. So why do we have Mehdi Hasan and all of the usual suspects, whether we're talking about the Hillary people or the Obama people, and there's an ocean of them, Soledad O'Brien being one of the obvious ones. But I can just go down the list of of names that that aren't going to stand out to you because they're not famous. Like, if Mehdi Hasan's name doesn't stand out to you, then most of the people I can name, like Greg Pinello, aren't going to stand out to you because they're surrogates. They're behind-the-scenes people. They're ad makers. They are DC insiders. But the amount of them that are throwing tantrums about this as if we haven't answered it is stunning. And yes, Breonna Joy Garay is completely correct in saying this is akin to birtherism, because no amount of information we can release will satisfy the complaint. In theory, this is about Sanders' fitness for office. In theory, this is about whether or not he can undertake the rigors of being president. So why is there so much venom attached to the question? Why is there so much hate and spite dripping out of every single accusation as if he is deliberately hiding something from the rest of us that we deserve to know? Like, this is a scandal. Are you kidding me? But of course, why is this happening? What could possibly be causing this to happen, of all things? Democracy Dies in Darkness, the Washington Post, wrote an article earlier today. The Democratic primaries may soon have an uncatchable leader who can't clinch the nomination. In other words, and they have Bernie Sanders there, they're not naming him, but they have him on the front. In other words, it has begun to sink into the establishment they can't beat him. That is why they are bringing up the birtherism 2.0 scandal. Of why won't he release his medical records? We want his long-form medical records. His doctor said he had a heart attack in Kenya. It's the same thing. It's the exact same, because there's no amount of information you could possibly give that would satisfy the complaints. So I'm mad about this, if that's not obvious, because it's one thing for racist, bigoted Republicans to do this, because at least you knew behind the scenes, none of them were like, yeah, once this is done, once we've blown the lid off this Obama thing, we're really going to go out there and give healthcare to everybody and really make sure that we you know, take a step back, you know, let another native-born American, we'll let them win, like a, you know, literal Native American. We would have no problem with that. It's just this one guy that we think came in from Kenya that we have suspicions about. No, nobody believed behind the scenes that's what they were doing. No one believed that. We all knew it was a racist, desperate, hateful Hail Mary attempt to invalidate a president that they just despised on a gut level. We all saw through that. Nobody was surprised by it. And of course, the same animosity, that same venom is just oozing through literally everything that has gone on this entire ridiculous, hateful, Bernie needs to release his medical records. I have another article here where, again, they reference that he did release his medical records. But before we even go to that, Jennifer Rubin last night was on a tear again about what was she on a tear about? So last night, before this story even broke, Jennifer Rubin, 9:15 p.m. writes, "Oh, let's pick the socialist who had a heart attack and won't release his med records and turns up his nose at millions to fund a campaign. Brilliant, just brilliant." So that snide little remark had all of us smack her down because it was ridiculous, stupid, and coming from Jen Rubin, we know it's disingenuous. She hates Bernie. She's always hated him. But that was before this morning. That was before this massive, coordinated, I don't like using that term because that implies there's collusion. Let me just say it feels very coordinated because of the sheer amount of people coming out. Move against Bernie Sanders on this debunked smear that he hasn't released his medical records. But last night, that was, I mean, if we're going to post it over a 24-hour period, the first one that I noticed of the establishment news, the corporate news, fielding this medical record lie. And then, of course, CNN the next morning does this clip with Breonna Joy Gray. And what they try to do is get her on a technicality to say that she's lying because she said that Mike Bloomberg had a heart attack, which is not true. Mike Bloomberg has had heart stents, similar to what Bernie has had. So, you know, again, it is it's inaccurate, but I don't believe she was lying. And she later said, yes, I misspoke. He's had heart stents the same as Bernie, not a heart attack. It's difficult when you're on TV to have facts just, you know, throwing at you willy-nilly and be able to react to them in a reasonable basis. Because again, the hosts are prepped. The hosts know what they're going to do and what they're going to say and are ready, whether it's a legitimate question or just a disgusting bait smear question like that. Sheryl Climber, by the way, is one of the other establishment comms people that you probably aren't familiar with. She's a Hillary Rodham Clinton comms person who wrote, I don't know who needs to hear this, but asking for the full medical records for any presidential candidate, let alone one who has recently had a heart attack, is in no way, shape, or form comparable to birtherism. No, it's literally the same thing. It's literally the same thing because he released his medical records. And again, all this spawned out of his town hall last night where he said, I'm not releasing another thing until the rest of the candidates in this race release theirs. And this is how far away we've gotten from good faith dialogue. This is how far away we've gotten because no one is even referencing what supposedly spawned that Jen Rubin temper tantrum was Bernie saying, like, I've released all the medical records I intend to, which is all that is required and all any candidate has ever been asked of. And anyone who's honest, any respectable journalist will tell you that, with the sole exception of Mehdi Hasan, who I don't want to say is an unrespectable hack because he does still do good work. But man, this is not good. That is like, this is not a good thing to be throwing any of your legitimacy towards. You know, Sean King posted about Bernie Sanders' medical records getting released on December 28th, 2019. The Honorable Bernard Sanders, United States Senate, 332 Dirksen Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20510. Dear Senator Sanders, this letter summarizes your general health history and current medical evaluation prepared at your request. My office has served as your physician for the past 29 years. I am certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and Internal Medicine, Hematology, and Medical Oncology. He did it. He released them. He released these records that they are crying and demanding get released. And the fact that they refuse to acknowledge that does not make it untrue. You can't just, like, if I show you evidence, again, it's the exact same thing. You can show a Trump supporter Obama's birth certificate and they wouldn't believe what you were holding. They would assume it was fake. It's the exact same thing. Tim Wise, here's another person who has made his career off of supposedly explaining racism to white people, you know, fighting alt-right Nazis since 89 is what he considers himself. Asking Sanders to release his health records he promised to release is not remotely equal to birtherism. What an ignorant argument. Sanders had a heart attack. Obama was not born in Kenya. One is truth, the other is false. The parallel is absurd and diminishes the racism of the latter. And of course, Breonna Joy Gray, the queen bee, says Obama did release his birth certificate. Bernie did release his health records. Get the analogy? You might have been making a living explaining racism to white people, Tim, but trust that this black woman who literally grew up in Kenya gets it. There you go. Again, there you go. I mean, this is not a joke. If you back this, if you lend your credibility and your weight to this, I seriously have to wonder how compromised your opinion is. Like the other article I was going to go into, but is it really necessary after reading the letter the article was written off of? The other article was from Burlington Free Press, written by Isaac Fornarola. And you can look this up if you want. Bernie Sanders makes good on campaign promise. Health records say he's good to go. And that was released, by the way, 9:26 a.m., December 31st, 2019. There is no question. This isn't up for debate. 51 days ago, Bernie released his full medical records, the same as or more than every other major candidate. If you trade in smears that ignore clearly identifiable facts and evidence, you're going to have to be honest about the bedfellows you've chosen. That's Breonna Joy Gray replying to Charlotte Clymer about that. I don't know who needs to hear this. And of course, Charlotte deciding that she hasn't been owned enough comes up and says, Bernie Sanders, your boss, literally said last night on national television that we'd not be releasing his full medical records, which is a lie. It's not true. He's not releasing any more. He's not giving any more information, any more addition. And of course, Breonna Joy Gray again replies, correcting her. But what she goes on to say, before we get to that, Charlotte Clymer says, Bernie Sanders, your boss, literally said last night on national television that he would not be releasing his full medical records. I don't know if you missed that, but it's very much a thing that happened. Comparing our questioning to this birtherism is disgusting. And of course, Breonna Joy Gayer goes, Charlotte, you're wrong. What he said was that he wouldn't be releasing additional medical records, which makes sense since he's already released what every other candidate has released. This isn't a dunk contest, Charlotte. The facts are clear. To which she doesn't reply because she has nothing. They have nothing on him. And all of the evidence points that Bernie is going to win this thing. Michael Bloomberg's campaign is actually freaking out and encouraging other campaigns to drop out before they split the moderate vote and basically put Bernie in a position to win. Like, that is a report going around as well. Mike Bloomberg is scared. And of course, I'm assuming most of the billionaires are scared. So that's why the billionaires are, they're putting pressure on their media employees. Their media employees, the people that show up to CNN, MSNBC, again, CNN is owned by AT&T, Time Warner, and what's his name? Ted Turner. And MSNBC is owned by Comcast. So the billionaires that control these companies, the companies themselves, they do not want Bernie Sanders in office because he is not going to give them any kind of favorable policy. Their taxes will go up, their profits will go down, and they will lose a lot of the power and control over the dialogue that they have till now had, which makes it very difficult for them to ever get it back. So they are afraid of what happens if you give us, the progressive movement, even an inch. They're afraid of the backslide in power that it would allow us to have. The minute you let us have Medicare for All, for instance, we can actually walk out of our jobs without fear of our kids that need medicine dying sick. I mean, that's one of the reasons why a lot of employers don't want employer-based healthcare to go away, is it helps prevent your workforce from committing any kind of insurrection. From walking out, from unionizing because they're afraid of reprisal and losing their jobs. And if they lose their jobs or if they go on strike and they don't get health insurance and their kids need the medicine, well, you know, sucks to be you. Like, if you're young and healthy, great, but a lot of people aren't. And all you need is for a couple people to be shaved off. And so that's the whole reason that system is set up that way. So they do not want someone like Sanders in. He is going to empower the workforce. That is scary to them. And I love it. I'm here for it. I'm glad that that is Sanders' platform. But to go up against all these billionaires throwing temper tantrums at once is a little jarring. I mean, it really stunned me to see them jump on the birtherism train after being aghast at Donald Trump for doing the same thing. They're like, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Soledad O'Brien coming out saying literally he lied about releasing his medical records, but okay, not true. He didn't lie. They're released. They were released. It's been reported. Soledad is unemployed, by the way, and has multiple pictures of her and Mike Bloomberg. She's a rich, privileged white lady who owns horses. She's an equestrian. Equestrian? I don't fucking care. And she got called out recently for defending Bloomberg, even though she had an earlier tweet in December where she called him out and she was like basically contradicting herself. And she threw like a temper tantrum because people caught her, which again, these people, they're heinous. All they care about is their own personal well-being. I don't know whether it is money that Bloomberg gave Soledad or just the chance of her to get on Bloomberg TV and get a job through him. I don't know what it could be. But the fact is that they're afraid to go after Bloomberg, and Bloomberg doesn't like Bernie. Bloomberg is encouraging, according to Axios this morning, Mike Bloomberg's campaign is sounding the alarm that Bernie Sanders will soon amass an insurmountable delegate lead if the Democratic field stays split. And he took the extraordinary step of suggesting laggards should drop out. Like, that is an actual article from Mike Bloomberg. And I say good, great. I'm glad that Mike Bloomberg is scared, but I think this is part of the reason why they're attacking Bernie like they are. They are doing whatever they can to shave some percentage points off of him. And if they can create the he's just like Trump withholding information narrative, which there's a ton of troll farms going out. And oh, by the way, I'm sure this isn't a coincidence. The liberal newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, and I'm being sarcastic, the Wall Street Journal is owned by Fox. Bloomberg bankrolls a social media army to push message. Campaign is hiring workers for $2,500 a month to promote candidate to all their contacts. So he's basically hiring people to promote Mike Bloomberg. And that shouldn't shock anybody. He's a billionaire. He can do that. But take another step further. Is he paying people to troll? Is he paying people to push this debunked smear? I was literally replying to people on my Twitter feed who were saying, I thought you liberals were all about honesty. Like, I was like, I read that. And I'm like, I feel like I'm talking with a Trump person. Like, he's hiring out troll armies. There's also, and I saw it yesterday, a bunch of memes, racist Pepe memes, that are trying to argue to the alt-right that Mike Bloomberg's your guy. That Mike Bloomberg is more racist than Trump. He'll do more racist things than Trump ever did. Richard Spencer is saying it. Like, so this is not a coincidence. All these people, they're saying, show me the money. Mike Bloomberg is willing to pay anybody any sum to try to come out in his favor. And it's pretty remarkable what we're up against. It's pretty remarkable what we're up against. We are being forced to face down more wealth, concentrated wealth than any. I mean, I made a joke that what happens when Bernie does get the nomination? Are the billionaires just going to start openly bribing people? Like, here's $2,500 to, or no, take it even farther. Here's $10,000. I'll give you $10,000 to not vote for Bernie, you know? And what are they going to be like? That's illegal. You can't do that. Who's going to enforce it? Who's going to enforce it? If Donald Trump is the president, who's going to enforce it? Yeah, you can bribe him. I don't care. Nope, don't investigate it. It violates state laws. Nah, I don't care. Like, again, who? Billionaires are virtually unaccountable. This is what's so terrifying about the idea of a Mike Bloomberg presidency, is the billions of dollars he has and the office combined would make him unaccountable. Like, if you can just buy every vote in the Senate and the House to do whatever you want, there's no point. I mean, it democracy dies, like, at that point. That's the end of it. You know, and just to really highlight how panicked the billionaire class is, from earlier this morning at 6:34 a.m., here's Stephen Klubeck, famous for the line, everyone wants to do well. You know, he was not so hot on the Byrne train, not so hot on the Liz Warren train. Here's him throwing a temper tantrum earlier this morning, just to show you that behind the scenes, the billionaires are definitely applying pressure to their employees and their surrogates and their connections at the DNC and the major media outlets.
But Steve, you've said over and over that enough is enough when it comes to President Trump. Is it truly an emergency if Bernie Sanders is the candidate? If he's the candidate and you can't vote for him, then are you really saying that Donald Trump is that much of a threat to our future?
Anyone but Bernie. Anyone but Bernie.
Then is the Democratic Party still your party? Senator Sanders is in Nevada this week with 10, 15,000 people going to rallies. Are you not part of the Democratic Party? Because it seems like a whole lot are right there.
Well, I think Tom Perez needs to step down. He's a joke. He's a clown. He can't run the Democratic Party anymore. It's lost its way. And, you know, fortunately, we need somebody in the Democratic Party that's made a payroll. Bernie hasn't made a payroll. Elizabeth hasn't made a payroll. And you got really only two candidates that have made a payroll. The mayor and the mayor. Choose one.
Then if your take is anybody but Bernie, and you look at the latest polls where he now has a double-digit lead, what should the moderates do? Do some of them need to drop out? And if so, who?
Well, you know what? Let's see what Mayor Bloomberg does tonight, because I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. He's extremely well-versed. And remember, intelligence is measured from the head up. And he has the quips against the president of the United States. And he could be.
I mean, just disregarding the fact that Bernie was a mayor. Bernie was a mayor. He was the mayor of Burlington. It's the largest city in Vermont. Pete Buttigieg, like, if that's your qualification, Bernie was a mayor. He was a mayor. You don't know what you're fucking talking about, you rich dickhead. Again, this is the same dude on MSNBC several months ago who completely was, he was like throwing a temper tantrum over the word billionaire. Like, he was calling, he bragged about how he's called Schumer, Wyden, and Pelosi to basically say, if you don't cut the crap on the billionaire millionaire term, I'm done. Like, you're not getting any more of my money. And just like with Howard Schultz not liking the term billionaire, wanting to instead be referred to as a person of means, I mean, it's really comical. Like, the billionaire class thinks that they are a minority that deserves protection, and that billionaire is an offensive word. And their hate for Bernie has, they're not playing around anymore. Like, they're funding people to go out and waste good hours out of their time pretending to be outraged that Bernie hasn't released a birth certificate, or, well, that's a Freudian slip, a medical record that he has actually released, that has come out. It's a joke. It's just a giant fucking joke. And in the face of it all, we've got a mainstream media that refuses to ask the tough questions of the actual billionaires in front of them. And now we're going to have Mike Bloomberg go up on a stage tonight in a debate. And I'm honestly, I don't know what to expect. With Chuck Todd going up there, and I was outraged at Chuck Todd last week because Chuck Todd was likening us to brown shirts. With Chuck Todd being one of the moderators, MSNBC is going to attack Bernie with every premise. They're going to bring up his medical history. They're going to call him a liar. They're going to say he isn't releasing enough, because there's no reason for them not to. They have gotten away with it up till now. No one has held them accountable. And because the billionaires are calling, you know, as you just heard from Stephen Klubeck several months ago, maybe even a year ago, he was the one saying that I've talked to Schumer and a Pelosi and Wyden. I can only imagine what he said in the year plus since then. That must have been 2018. But I can only imagine what he said since then. He does not like Bernie. He has hated Bernie for a long time, and he's hated this populist movement of the Democratic Party, and these people in the party listen to him. They want that billionaire cash. And if he's just one, again, Howard Schultz is a massive bankroller of Democratic politics and was considering his own run as a way to head off Bernie, and then didn't realize how mean everybody was going to be online. And so, of course, Mike Bloomberg jumps in, and as you can hear it, another billionaire is like, thank God. Thank God we got Bloomberg in there to go after them. Sounds like Alex Jones, man. But Bloomberg is going to get his ass kicked. Because I saw someone tweeting out yesterday what Bloomberg's plan of attack is, and it was pathetic. It's the exact same things we heard from Hillary Clinton. Your plans are pie in the sky, Bernie. You're promising the moon. You're literally worth $50 billion, bitch! Better things aren't possible. No, they are possible. Look, here's the thing. Here's the actual truth. I would happily let Medicare for All and a Green New Deal bankrupt this country, leave no money left. As opposed that first off, to even have a concept of the economy as if spending all the money and then there's suddenly no money left is just stupid. It's just not how the economy works. It's not like, oh, all the money ran out, I guess society stops. That's not how it works. That's just not the way society functions. So the very idea that that's going to happen in the first place is ludicrous. But let me just go ahead and say, if it did, I would happily let that happen. I would happily let that happen before I let another person die in the gutter under the logic that we can't afford to help them. I would rather let society try to help them and destroy itself than have society refuse to do anything and pat itself on the back as if it's a laudable decision to just do nothing. A. B, I think that at the very least we can go, once we've run out of billionaires, maybe we can reevaluate whether or not it's cost effective. Once all the billionaires' cash is gone, then you can talk to me. If you make under $100,000 a year, you can talk to me about wealth inequality and how taxes are too high. If you're a fucking billionaire, you don't get to say shit while there are homeless people outside. You don't get to say shit while the polar ice caps are melting and the Himalayas are melting. You don't get to say shit while people die of preventable illnesses, while we pay more for insulin, five times more than they pay in Canada. You don't get to talk about it. You're the problem. You're the fucking problem. And it is insane that the media refuses to hold people like Klubeck accountable. But here's another dumbass billionaire saying another dumbass thing that I this happened yesterday. And again, it's worth seeing. I mean, this is how much the billionaire class hates him.
I look at Bernie Sanders as a bigger threat than the coronavirus. How's that?
Well, I mean, first it was Elizabeth Warren. Now you've moved on to Bernie.
In all honesty, I don't have any insight into the coronavirus beyond what everybody else has. But I assume when all the great minds in the scientific world focus on this problem, that in 3 or 4 months, this will become resolved, much the way SARS and the Ebola virus was dealt with. That's my hope. That's my expectation. That's my aspiration. You know, the human suffering is great. The dislocation is significant. But I think the odds are by June, this will become less of an issue.
You said we're knocking on the door of euphoria. You said that a moment ago. What knocks the door down? What would you look for?
You know, higher prices or change in inflation, recession expectations, or most likely a change in the Fed. I mean, the Fed, the market now is discounting 1 or 2 rate cuts. You know, I don't see why we would have rate cuts. I mean, the consumer confidence is up. Retail sales are strong. Employment is strong. Consumer net worth is at a record level. The economy is growing in line with trend. Corporate profits are good. If businessmen were if they were pessimistic, they wouldn't be buying back so much stock. So I think interest rates are fueling the market. They're just unappealing. I wouldn't want to buy a 10-year government bond at 1.5% with your money. I could find many things in the stock market that make much more sense than bonds. So if there's a bubble, the bubble is bonds, not equities. But I would say, you know, another 5-6% up in the market quickly would probably be euphoria, my way of thinking. I want to make it very clear. I'm not a big long-term optimist. I think things are out there very troubling to me.
Right.
You know, I think, number one is Bernie Sanders. If you listen to his proposals, it's only a $6 trillion annual deficit. I think also he's misrepresenting himself. He is not a socialist, but he's rather a communist. And there's a difference between a socialist and a communist. Socialists advocate a redistribution of wealth. The communists advocate nationalizing the means of production and tearing down the house that wealth has built. And all you got to do is read the Wall Street Journal editorial this past Saturday on Bernie and understand what he stands for. And the fact that he's doing so well in the polls is troublesome. You know, I just hope the country is not prepared to elect a communist or socialist. If we do, I think that the market is in store for a big, big problem.
But don't you think, I mean, it's somewhat perverse where people think that Bernie Sanders is bad for the stock market, but yet as he comes higher in the polling, it doesn't necessarily knock the stock market down because there is a belief in some quarters that Bernie Sanders can't get elected, that he can't beat Trump, and thus the stock market has remained where it is rather than fall out of bed.
Yeah, I think the market is complacent in that regard, and I think the market is right. The market's assuming that President Trump is reelected. And if he's not reelected, the only guy, in my opinion, that could beat him is Michael Bloomberg. And Bloomberg or Trump would be acceptable to the market. That's what the market is assuming. But it's assuming Trump in the main. And I think the market is assuming that the coronavirus problems dissipate in the next quarter or so.
Well, how do you square this? We are actually going to do this political conversation later. But since you went there, let's just go there fully. I know about your support of Bloomberg. You've made that no secret in other venues and here in the past, and I'm sure you're going to do it again today. Bloomberg comes out today with a financials, a transactions tax. What's your reaction to that? If that had come from Sanders or Warren, you probably would have said, well, that's crazy. So now that it's coming from your guy, what do you say?
Well, I'm in favor of fewer taxes. Let me just say, he's facing an interesting problem. The problem is, very simply, he's anathema to everything the Democratic Party stands for now, right? The party has moved to the left. He's not a leftist. He's a centrist. He's trying to basically get the support of the party. My own guess, and this is a guess, I'm not a politically involved guy. You can check the record. Up until recently, I was a registered independent. I just switched over to a Democrat so I can vote in the primaries in Florida. But, you know, basically, I don't think the Democratic Party wants Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren to head their ticket. If that's right, and nobody breaks out in the primaries, I think you go to a brokered convention. And I think Mike Bloomberg has a good shot in a brokered convention. He's trying to court the party.
So that's billionaire idiot Leon Cooperman. I'm sorry, billionaire investor. And right there, I mean, dripping with bias, talking about the Wall Street Journal, these are the thoughts of a Republican. These are the that is the mind of the Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity crowd. That is how they think. And he's talking about, you know, this is not where the party wants to go. He's not a leftist. You don't get to talk about the party. He just admitted he just switched so he could vote in the primaries in Florida. And he accused Bernie Sanders of being worse than a deadly disease. Now, of course, you could say in the context of the market, he's going to upset the market more. But the real truth of the matter is, and you hear it in his opinions there, he doesn't like Bernie Sanders. Stephen Klubeck, he doesn't like Bernie Sanders. Michael Bloomberg, he doesn't like Bernie Sanders. They do not like Bernie Sanders. Howard Schultz, I do not like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a literal page of anti-endorsements he gets from wealthy people, billionaires, where they literally say, I like all the candidates except Bernie, anyone but Bernie. Because that's what this is. That's what this is. The billionaire class doesn't like Bernie. They don't want him in to be the opponent. And every time the campaign answers one of the hacky attacks put against it, there's a part of me that wants to say, why are you even bothering to respond? You know that it's just coming from some billionaire's ass, and that there's nothing behind it. There's no meat to it. If there was any meat to all these smear campaigns, you would have seen Bernie Sanders would have never gotten off the ground. But not only is he surging, but he's surging so much that he's got these people fucking crying on national television about it. Now, Bernie Sanders' campaign manager, Faz Shakir, came out on the 18th of February, so yesterday, and said that Bernie Sanders' campaign manager says Fox News is more fair to the campaign than MSNBC. And I think that's fair. You know, I think that's correct. Aaron LeBrun goes on to say, he's right. Fox News, now detached from News Corp and owned by Fox Corporation, is more independent than Comcast-owned MSNBC or AT&T-owned CNN. It's a total paradigm shift that people, liberals especially, aren't used to yet. I mean, I don't know. I think that's underselling it a bit, frankly, but that's the gist of it. You know, that's the gist of it. These big corporations do not want anyone to push them to pay more taxes. They don't want someone who's not going to give them favorable legislation. And Fox News, you know, they hate liberals, but they apply the label liberal or socialist to like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who are not socialists. They're moderates. You know, they are centrist Republicans. And it's difficult to explain this to people who aren't as well versed in it. If you're listening to this, you're more well versed than most people you know. It's difficult to explain the difference between a liberal and a progressive, but a liberal is Barack Obama. A progressive is Bernie Sanders. Very different in terms of what policy proposals they put on the table, even if there's a lot of voter overlap, because regular voters just don't know the difference. And regular voters can fall for this kind of crap that the mainstream media is proposing. When they put on a billionaire who hates Bernie Sanders and doesn't know things, but just proceeds to just attack him and say that Tom Perez is inept, and he is, and needs to be removed. But the implication there is that we need someone in who can disqualify Bernie Sanders, who can disqualify his whole run. And that's something Jen Rubin was basically demanding, is that Bernie Sanders' whole campaign, she's calling on the Democratic Party to disqualify it, invalidate it. I mean, this, you can't make this shit up. And of course, that's coming down from Jeff Bezos. You know, he keeps Jennifer Rubin around to be his little angry mouthpiece. But this is what we're up against. We're up against the billionaire class, which has recognized that Bernie is surging. And in the face of his victory, are now demanding that the rules be physically changed, that we just don't allow Bernie's campaign to go on. We just stop it. Stop it right here. I mean, that's not how you will not stop us. You are not going to stop us from changing society for the better. And let's not forget that in this ocean of disingenuity of these Obama surrogates, of these Hillary Clinton surrogates trying to help the billionaire class keep their money to stop our movement, let's not forget that Jennifer Rubin's a Republican. You know, like the remember how I started this whole episode? I said last night that was the first I'd seen of this recent surge of attacks. You know, they've been trying to go after us on the Bernie bro smears. That's what they were really like harping on for the past 5 days. That's what had their ire up, was Bernie Sanders supposedly having an uncontrollable mob of people who, for whatever reason, can't stand bullshit being fed to them on a daily basis by the mainstream press. And again, like they call us Bernie bros, even though he's got the most diverse coalition in the race. He's backed by teachers. He has more union endorsements than anyone else. The predominant amount of funding he gets is from teachers, Amazon workers, and what was the other big one? Walmart employees. So basically the cogs of the economy, the people who do the work that no one else wants to do, of helping in just bare bones retail, customer service, or of educating the next generation to know how desperate things are and how much resources they need for help, that whole section of society, yeah, they endorse Bernie Sanders. They like Bernie Sanders' ideas because they're good ideas. They're the ideas we need at this pivotal moment in our history. And a lot of the people that are trying to smear these ideas that are coming out against them are never Trump Republicans. Like Meghan McCain, for instance, Jennifer Rubin, Bill Kristol are on that whole never Bernie train. And they were just welcomed with open arms by the Democratic elite, because the neocons, the Democratic elite, these people are... Man, they long for the halcyon days of when they were able to work together. You know, I mean, before the internet really like made what was going on behind the scenes obvious to everybody, like they really got along behind the scenes. Like they went to the same parties, they drank from the same bars. You know, this was all just a gig. You know, whether you were a Republican or a liberal, it was all the same thing. You were working for a different set of donors, maybe. But ultimately, it was still in the service of wealthy interests. And that's why over the last 40 years, we've seen such a concentration of wealth in the hands of so few people, is that both parties have been the pro-corporate party, just to different severities. You know, Barack Obama, to his credit, was better than George W. Bush in some respects. And by some respects, I mean in terms of the economy. But he still bailed out the banks, and he shouldn't have. That was something that we, the progressives at the time, didn't want, because they had ruined the economy. He bought GM, and even though they paid back the loan, they effectively distributed to the same sort of oligarchic interest that it had been in the hands of previously. Nothing really substantially changed after GM got bailed out. If they had turned it over to its workers and the workers were allowed to own the company, now that would have been a real populist, socialist thing to do. As our friend Leon from earlier was complaining about giving the means of production to the workers, that is something that Obama had the ability to do, but chose not to do. He just gave it to a different set of oligarchs. And Bill Kristol is going to mention here at the very end his support for Mike Bloomberg. Here's an interview with, of all people, not an interview, it's a panel, with Mehdi Hasan talking about Bernie's recent surge, which is why he is such a I'm conflicted. I don't like the fact that he bought into this really just disgusting smear attempt on Bernie today. And he's done other such things in the past. But at the same time, he's one of the few voices of sanity you can get on panels like this in CNN. So without further ado, here's Mehdi Hasan and Bill Kristol.
issues. I think the poll that you've referred is very important. I mean, Bernie Sanders a year ago was being written off by everyone. He's now the clear, undisputed front runner.
Not by everyone.
Not by everyone. Jake, I think you...
I call them a front runner.
You and I had discussions on the show many a time. But in general, if you go back and read what people were saying, they thought he was finished. It was going to be Warren on the left. Biden had it locked up. All wrong. 31% in an eight-way race is pretty astonishing, no matter what you think of him. Just on Bloomberg very quickly, a lot of people are... You know, a friend of mine, her mother said, you know, I like Bloomberg. And when she was asked why, because of all those ads with him and Obama, which are so disingenuous because, of course, he didn't endorse Obama in 2008. He only reluctantly endorsed Obama in 2012. And in 2016, he blamed Obama for racial division in the country after Trump was elected. Yeah. So these ads are shameless, but they are working because he's got so many of them.
Bill Kristol, there are a lot of homeless Republicans like you who like the idea of Bloomberg.
Because he's a Republican.
President Obama endorsed him. I saw that on that ad. That was very, you kind of buried the lead, I think. I mean, there you have a clip of President Obama praising his 12 years as mayor. But you can believe Mehdi if you want instead of President Obama. You know, that's what I would say on behalf of Mayor Bloomberg.
All right, everyone stick around.
That disgusting ooze that you heard come out of Kristol there, he's like, well, I might say if I was Mike Bloomberg, is that, I mean, you got President Obama. President Obama said that. This is disgusting. That's disgusting. Mike Bloomberg is misleading people with that ad that shows Obama saying nice things about him. And Mehdi Hasan just laid out the truth there. You know, Mike Bloomberg only reluctantly endorsed Obama. He didn't like Obama. He blamed Obama for the way things ended up with Trump winning. Like, he is a Republican, as Mehdi Hasan pointed out. So, of course, a neocon like Bill Kristol is excited to get behind someone like Mike Bloomberg because he thinks that Mike Bloomberg will give him a home or a job. And that's what this is all about to a lot of these people, is it's a giant jobs program for rich white people. Working on a campaign, working in someone's White House, or just getting funding thrown to you by the billionaire class of some, you know, Foster Freeze, Howard Schultz, Mike Bloomberg. It doesn't matter who you get funding from. What matters is that they like, yeah, fund this think tank to like basically go around and spread alt-right, you know, Nazi infused with libertarianism so that, you know, they take all their energy and anger out on poor minorities and don't pay attention to any of the rank corporate oligarchy and feudalism that is taking place around them. You know, the Charlie Kirks of the world, whose entire job is to foster just enough hate sentiment for people of color that it distracts the people he's fostering it in from being ripped off. And then when you try to put a lid back on it, when you try to clamp back down on the hate, it's not possible. And he gets booed off of campuses now by Turning Point USA people. Supposedly, you know, ideologically symmetrical individuals, they've turned into Nazis. The grassroots of the Republican Party has basically turned into Nazis. And the former heads of it, like Bill Kristol, who are just like rich oligarchs that are fine bombing people a world away, but will be perfectly content and smile to your face. Like those people, there's a disconnect with them, you know, on the grassroots level, because all their rhetoric they've used to control the far right with for as long as they have, it sunk in. It's become a policy prescription now. It's no longer rhetoric. It's why Trump won, you know, on his extremely bigoted, racist policy proposals of the Muslim ban and building the wall. Like, you can only foster this much anger and resentment before someone's going to take advantage of it and wrest control away from you. And Bill Kristol, you know, as Jake Tapper pointed out there, you're a homeless Republican and you support Mike Bloomberg. Well, of course you do. He is a Republican. They're trying to turn the Democratic Party into the replacement for the Republican Party that has just turned into a Nazi-esque institution. In a lot of ways, it already was, but the mask has been ripped off. And even though Bill Kristol may have been fine with the mask when it was on, may have been fine with all this behind the scenes, what he's not fine with now is not being a kingmaker. You know, him, Karl Rove, they all backed Jeb Bush. You know, they wanted to play kingmaker, and Donald Trump stop that. He took control away from them, and that's what they can't stand. By getting welcomed into the Democratic Party establishment, where their ideas are not, they're not popular with the base. In fact, they're ideologically opposed with the base, but with the establishment, with the leadership class, it's not really as big of a deal. You know, it's like, do you not like Trump? Hey, I don't like Trump. Great. You know, we're all rich. You know, we're all in the same big club. You know, if you think brown people should be bombed over there, I think that Juan Guaido should be the real president of Venezuela over here. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it all comes out in the wash. They agree. They agree on most things. So that is more or less our show. I'm looking forward to the debate tonight. I think we're going to win Nevada pretty handedly. Virginia right now is split 22-22. I obviously wasn't able to post last night because I was being trained on doing door-to-door canvassing. I have an event planned this Saturday. If there's anyone in the Virginia area who wants to come out, just so you know, it will be from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I will be starting at my home. Here in Fairfax, I'll be doing some training so people understand what's expected of them, how the best way to engage. We'll be dividing up lists. I'll introduce people to the app we'll be using, and we're just going to go from there and knock on some doors. It's going to be a lot of fun, but that's how I'm contributing. Right now in Virginia, it's split between Bloomberg and Sanders, 22-22. I'm looking to help try to, you know, bridge that gap so we can flip Virginia for Bernie, or at least keep it close enough that the other states we win an overwhelming amount in will be enough to give us the majority of delegates so that we're the ones that get this nomination. Because these people, these never Trump Republicans, these billionaires, they shouldn't feel at home in this party. That question that was asked of Stephen Klubeck, the answer is yes. This is not your party and you need to leave. You want to go align with the Republicans, go do it. You want to say anybody but Bernie, he's going to ruin this country. No, what you're actually saying is he's going to ruin your pocketbook. So I'm looking forward to knocking on some doors. I'm a Bernie victory captain. So that means basically I'm just setting up the events. And it's nothing more than that. I'd like to end on a fun note. Here's Amy Klobuchar making a fool of herself.
First of all, my name is Amy. When I took Spanish in fourth grade, my name was Elena.